So let's get back to practical decision making. Dr. Figlin, how do you think through second line therapy in a patient who's gotten a first line VEGF TKI?
Yeah, I think that my colleagues have summarized it, but let me just put a little bit of a different spin on it. I think we all recognize that trials are designed to answer clinical trial questions in populations that may not necessarily be what people in practice see all the time. And I think what we have to remember is the extension to which what we're practicing is mirrored by the selectivity of the clinical trial population. So if I can be so bold, you know, it seems to me odd that one would think that a cancer, as Walter pointed out, that is driven by a VHL abnormality, an upregulation of HIF and angiogenesis, would somehow not need angiogenic inhibition across the paradigm of its treatment. If this was prostate cancer, you would not talk about leaving the androgen receptor as a target of your benefit. And in fact, we've revisited that over the last couple of years with better AR inhibitors. So I think that when you take the two sets of data in my mind, which is the 404 data that Tom presented, which is sorafenib versus temsirolimus, with sorafenib having a survival advantage, and the AXIS trial in the second line setting after prior VEGF TKI treatment, in my practice, I generally treat with a second TKI targeting the VEGF pathway.
Which one?
And because of the AXIS trial, I use axitinib.
I'm going to ask Dr. Hudson in a second to review that data, but can you just follow up with what happened with the patient?
So just to make it clear, when we were irradiating the patient, we left her on sunitinib with the intent of continuing that. It's just that she progressed and got a little bit of hemoptysis afterwards. So she went on to everolimus, standard dose, and she had that for a little over a year. And then she developed increase in the size of her lung lesions, but also three new liver lesions. And she remained well. ECOG status was still zero. No other problems.
How did she do during the everolimus?
She did well. She had minor mucositis, which was managed topically, and she had some asymptomatic changes in her lungs. She had asymptomatic pneumonitis, which we did not treat, but we could see on scan.
Yeah, I noticed that. So you continued treatment in spite of that?
Yeah, so she had grade one changes without any symptoms. And if patients have some minor symptoms, we'll add some prednisone, which will suppress that. It's when they become significantly symptomatic into grade three where you need to assess what's going on. You may need to give steroids. You may want to break therapy. And if you think they could have an infection, they need to be actively investigated. That doesn't happen very often, but the mTOR group of drugs have some immunosuppression as part of their activity. They're derived and homologs of sirolimus. And so we have seen a handful of infections in the lung. And if patients get sick, they need to be actively investigated. It doesn't happen very often, but it's important.